Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, December 15th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a very chilly 12 degrees with lake effect snow hot enough here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show 21st Century Cures Giveaway, Human Experimentation, and the $6.3 billion gift to biotech. And we have been digging into this 21st Century Cures Act over the last week or so. We are going to continue there just probably for the beginning of the show, because I found some more really, really disturbing information that needs to be put out there. I know not many people are talking about it. I saw on news.google.com this morning that there's a few more stories out there, but yesterday morning, I didn't see one thing besides Fox News in the Google feed of any substance besides a press release. But we had talked yesterday in regards to this mental health provision that is in this 21st Century Cures Act, as well as genomics research for drug development, fast-tracking, 21st Century Cures direct-to-consumer, the Brain Project, and being able to cure all these horrible mental diseases that are out there, PTSD, dementia, Alzheimer's. To be able, and here's something that I didn't realize, but I dug into it, and it is true, to be able to track individuals diagnosed with mental ailments, all, of course, for their protection, so Nana with dementia doesn't get lost. They are also going to tackle the amazing addiction problem we seem to have here in the United States, with especially opioids, those opioids that our soldiers have been protecting over in Afghanistan to make sure we have bumper crops in the last few years, have been better than ever. But that has led to our children finding cheap heroin and stuff on the streets, overdosing, because they don't have any clue. Who the hell would ever think that we would have teenagers in America doing heroin? But it's all been a part of this war on terror. So now, problem reaction solution, 21st Century Cures Act is going to fix all that. Remember, we also have lunatics on the streets with firearms. And those mass shootings, especially in Connecticut, need to be tamped down by getting rid of those HIPAA regulations, loosening the ties, like Obama said, to get their hands in there and be able to share information. And I found that as well. I guess apparently they've loosened those HIPAA regulations now, all because of Sandy Hook. But we also discovered, as a part of this 21st Century Cures Act and these double-digit health increases for insurance, that we'll be able to fix that solution, not only speeding cures by having the FDA with a rubber stamp, but also by employing Dr. Smartphone and Dr. Watson and lots of other smart tools that are coming on their way. We've read about all these newfangled diagnosis tools, those biosensors, these diagnosis tools that can use just the sound of your voice to determine whether or not you have some sort of ailment. First, they were working on mental ailments. There seem to be patterns in your speech that could identify different mental illnesses on a spectrum. But now they're discovering that they can also identify problems with your heart and other body parts just by anomalies in the way that you talk. But hey, don't worry about that, because, you know, nobody is surveilling us 24/7 or recording our voice. No. And they don't have tools out there that can not only record what we say, but distinguish what we are saying, be able to translate what we are saying, being able to scrape natural language to determine the contextual meaning, even if you're using slang. No, we're not working on that stuff. Well, yes, they are. So we find out that this 21st Century Cures Act was a Christmas present, I think is how they put it, for a total of $6.3 billion. And I had questions when we found that document I had mentioned a bunch of times in regards to Congress voting that the courts couldn't really prosecute them for insider trading because, you know, hey, it's part of their job to be keeping up on this stuff. And how can you say they can't invest in things? So when we then found out last year that more than half of Congress are now millionaires, I was questioning yesterday how being in public service should be worth being millionaires, especially at $6.3 billion in this case, in this round. But there's been billions, if not trillions of dollars dumped into things, these newfangled cures and technologies that are now all merging in this 21st Century Cures Act. But how are these guys allowed to potentially invest in this? So I took a look to see if I could find any type of public open documentation because I thought it was all about transparency in Obama's last 8 years. Find out who invested in what. I couldn't find anything for 2016. So someone correct me if I am wrong, but Google didn't want to show it. If it's out there, it did not come up in the first 10 pages of hits that I saw. Well, I did find a story, and this was from 2015, December 1st, so just over a year ago, out of statnews.com. Exclusive. Investments give lawmakers personal stake in biotech and healthcare. Ding, 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 ding. So when we saw after the Trump election, the biotech stocks go through the roof, there was no question in our minds that there was something going on here. The 21st Century Cures Act was on a fast track, and the train isn't stopping with the changing of the guards. But when we watched and read, we watched the video, the propaganda video put out by the Energy Department of Energy and Commerce about 21st Century Cures, the Twinkie music to sell it to everybody, bipartisan support, you have Fred Upton and Diana somebody, I keep forgetting her name, she's a rep from Democrat from Colorado, she says. But we find out there was full bipartisan support. There were only five who voted against it. Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. It's two of them in, I don't know, House or the Senate, wherever they are. I think they're in the Senate. But everyone else voted on. Well, this would explain it, because I think we found the evidence as to why this was passed with such flying colors. And the LA Times stepped right up, and they called bullshit. Just like we did. I still have to give them kudos. I honestly didn't think that a mainstream-esque publication would have bucked the system. But, you know, here in the end, hopefully they keep it up because this is dirtier than dirty. Wait until you hear some of these things that I dug up. I found the full text that went to the president's desk, and we aren't going to be able to dig through the 1,000 pages, but we'll most certainly be able to do a top 100 of the table of contents. And it is very, very telling. So anyway, back to the story from December 1st, 2015. If there was any doubt in your mind that Congress was going to profit from the 21st Century Cures Act, as well as the biomedical, biopharma, biotech companies, here it is. The congressman didn't mince words when the Food and Drug Administration aired a plan to regulate diagnostic tests at a recent hearing that could slow approvals, Representative Chris Collin warned, and you run the risk of causing people to die. I mean, that was the fear that they put into everybody's hearts, that pesky FDA is in the way from being able to provide you cures. Even if they're untested on humans, hey, you know what? Desperate and dying, here's that dangling carrot. We will offer you that chance if you can pay for it. Because remember, these clinical trials are not free, and you do not get reimbursed. This is coming out of your pocket. That one treatment that we are reading about was like $90,000 a year for this woman to potentially keep her illness in check. I don't remember what it was for, but we read a study yesterday where there were now some young foreign scientists working at one of our many universities here in the United States that had dug into the actual drugs that have been approved for treatments or new treatments approved for illnesses that are currently on the market, that have currently gone through FDA testing, that potentially had problems, but I think there were 36 of them total. And they had looked at a data set of 18 and then kind of took it down to 7. And it ended up that the majority of these treatments, A, didn't make anyone's quality of life much better, nor did it cause them to live any longer. And whoops, there was a large group of them, a percentage of them, that actually made their situation quite a bit worse. And these were things that were approved. So with this 21st Century Cures Act, we just now got this minimalist approval process that still is allowing dangerous treatments and drugs to get on the market through the FDA. Out of the way, have we fast-tracked it all? God, you know, I've called this an orgy. And I thought in the very beginning that maybe that was kind of a strong word when I thought about it after. I was like, ooh, that might not have been a good word in the title. But I hate to say it, guys. I am seeing like the heydays of Rome with the pucatoriums and the bathhouses, drinking lots of wine and doing crazy shit, because this sure is an orgy. And you and I are now the banquet. Disgusting thought. But anyway, so the Representative Christopher Collins warned, you know, FDA, if you get in the way, you run the risk of causing people to die. So what Collins didn't say at this hearing was that he had a financial stake in the issue. Ding, ding. He co-founded a company that makes components for those tests. And he retains an ownership stake in that company, an asset he values at between $5 and $25 million. Welcome to Congress. Yeah, jewels for Congress. I'm going to pull that sign out and get some printed. Where such arrangements are legal and to many critics, deeply disturbing. A stat analysis of thousands of pages of congressional disclosure forms found that about 30% of all your senators and 20% of all your representatives held assets in biomedical and healthcare companies or in specialty funds set up to invest in those industries during 2014. And the most common investments in the House were Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, and Abbott Laboratories. And in the Senate, investors favored Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Merck. Remember, Merck was at the head of the CDC, Julie Gerberger, if I remember correctly, who had gone over as the lead drug development sales and marketing person or something after she left the CDC, after she got some sort of pandemic flu vaccine pushed out there and then sold a whole bunch of shares. I don't know. This is all the big, disgusting revolving door, guys. Members of Congress owned more stock in health-related companies last year than in the defense and construction sectors combined, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. Their investment in the sector topped $68 million. I bet you this year it's going to go up for defense. You watch and see. Some of the most aggressive congressional investors in the biomedical sector also sit on key committees. Well, who would have thunk it? Such as the House Judiciary Committee, which has jurisdiction over patent law, or the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which oversees the Food and Drug Administration and works on many issues of critical importance to the industry, including, who would have thunk it, drug regulation, research funding, and taxes on medical devices. Collins, who happens to be a Republican right from my home state, my home area, Western New York, sits on the Energy and Commerce Committee and co-sponsored a bill to repeal the tax on medical devices. Right. I mean, you might as well step right up, be one of the desperate, and pay for your treatments as well as a big hefty tax. He has also proposed pushing the FDA to loosen requirements for drug companies to track the safety and effectiveness of products. So wait, he is pushing the FDA, and this was pre-21st Century Cures, but this was in the law, this is part of it, to loosen requirements for drug companies to track the safety and effectiveness of products after they are on the market. Now, guys, this is the study we read yesterday showing how the majority of these products aren't providing cures or better health outcomes or longer lives. Yet, these pharmaceutical companies and medical device innovators in laboratories, mad science gone mad departments, are banking on this stuff at our expense. That provision to, you know, get rid of tracking safety and effectiveness of products once they're on the market may help pharmaceutical firms, including a biotech company in which Collins is the largest single stockholder. Wow, dirty boy out of Western New York. I think this should be published somewhere in the Buffalo News. This is crazy. That provision would help many pharmaceutical firms, including a biotech company in which Collins is the largest single stockholder. Two of Collins' children also hold stock in this company called Innate Immunotherapeutics Limited, and Collins is a director. Innate Immunotherapeutics has noted the potential benefits of having a member of Congress invested in its success. It touts Collins' status as a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee in its annual reports. How nice. So they get to use his quote-unquote fame to be able to move their product forward. Look, we're endorsed. I mean, is that an official endorsement? And is he getting paid? Well, yeah, I guess he is by being part of the board or whatever the hell he is. Representative Scott Peters, who is a California Democrat, this summer rallied 78 members of Congress to protect pharmaceutical companies against costly legal challenges to their patents, opposing a bill known as the Innovation Act. The industry has made changes to the Innovation Act, a top priority, saying it is overly broad and it will hurt legitimate inventors. But it wasn't unusual for Peters to back the pharmaceutical industry. Biomedical companies in his San Diego district, and hey, that's where Nick and those guys are from Anti-Media. You should find this dude. Have named him, quote, elected official of the year, 2 years running. So this is biomedical companies in San Diego. But Peters also has a personal stake in the fight, of course. His wife, Lynn Gorzes, was actively buying stock in various pharmaceutical and biomedical companies both before and after his July protest against the patent bill. She bought between 610,000 and $1.5 million of stock in drug and device companies in 2015, including Allergan, Johnson & Johnson, Thermo Fisher Scientific, and Merck. Most of these belong to the trade organization that wanted Peter's help on the patent bill. Insider trading. I mean, this is just lunacy. These are the people that just let the pharmaceutical industry have free R&D on humans. And it's all in the name of speeding treatments to save the people. These people need to be called out. These are evil, evil individuals. They're going to profit on your children. There's a whole section of the 21st Century Cures Act, but of course, experimenting on children to cure disease, experimenting on the brain and mental health, experimenting on humans, and giving up your right to informed consent. There's a line item in the table of contents called that. Members of Congress, of course, because you don't need to know what they're doing, Johnny. Just know that it will cure you, maybe, if you are that desperate to step right up. Members of Congress, of course, are constantly voting on bills that benefit one group or industry over another because they feel it's the right thing to do, or in the best interest of their constituents or their pocketbooks. Government watchdogs, however, find the collisions between personal investment and political duties. Now, isn't that called like collusion or some sort of conspiracy? Because I would say so. But government watchdogs find the collisions between personal investments and political duties worrisome. Not just in these cases, but across Capitol Hill. Fire them all. This is why this is scary, because Trump gets elected and they make us think, oh, well, he was a better alternative than Hillary. You know, this wasn't stopping any train. And I almost think now, seeing some of these appointments for all these different cabinets of all these industry insiders from Wall Street to energy to pharmaceutical. I don't know. Does he have any pharmaceutical people? I mean, these are all really scary people. Carl Jr., CEO, the guy who wants to put robots on his workforce, Department of Labor head, potentially. This isn't going to stop. This is like the orgy of Rome. That image just keeps flashing in my head, and one of them's got a toupee. All in their togas with their feathers puking in the pucatorium and then going back to get all greased up again. I mean, it's just horrifying. The fall. It's the fall of Rome. The fact it's the fall of everything. The fact that members of Congress hold stock in companies while, quote, they are passing laws that affect those businesses is a particular area of concern. And now they are passing laws to get nanobots into our blood, guys, and monitoring technologies into our brain. This is what this bill is. This bill just let it all hang out. And it's all balls forward now because they're chomping at the bit. 2017 is going to be a flurry of innovation. The law of exponential returns. It's here, people. Invest, invest. If you want to invest in the fall of the human race, 2.0 is on the way. 1.0 is going to be gone. It'll all be done in the name of humanitarian efforts. We will be able to experiment on the globe because of our health agenda, that executive order that was passed right before 21st Century Cures that made us now imperialists across the globe, all in the name of healthcare, yes, and being able to protect everyone from the dangers. Even if the lawmakers aren't personally picking and choosing each stock, knowingly holding stocks in pharmaceutical and medical device companies creates obvious financial conflicts of interest. And stats analysis found that some members of Congress do vote against their own financial interests, right? But I'm sure that doesn't happen very often. For instance, oh, let's give an example. Senator David Bitter of Louisiana this year introduced a bill that the drug industry has long opposed. It would let U.S. consumers buy American-made medicines from Canada and other countries. Vitter reported owning between 52,000 and 130,000 in the pharmaceutical industry and related stocks at the end of 2014. Yeah, well, that's kind of a pittance compared to the other dude with his $1.5 million. In other cases, however, financial interests and political votes neatly aligned. So that was just a token out there to go, look, I'm not insider trading. Anyway, members, of, and he still made money anyway, even if it was from Canada, because it was still the same manufacturers, just at a reduced cost. Members of Congress are not required to recuse themselves from voting on bills that could affect their personal finances, unless they would be the primary beneficiary of legislation. Right, so they could turn around and say, hey, it's for the benefit of Americans. It's going to save lives. That just moves them out of slot number one. I think we should put some AI face micro expression cameras on these guys and then put them in front of a lie detector. Find out who really has the American public's best interest at heart. I guarantee you these guys would not pass. So members of Congress aren't required to recuse themselves of things that might affect their personal financial interests. And that's unusual. In D.C., across most of the federal government, employees must recuse themselves from working on an issue that could affect the value of their investments. The Department of Health and Human Services goes further, barring employees from owning stock in drug companies and other industries that the agency closely regulates. Right. And the CDC, we found out, though, all you got to do is, you know, jump ship and take all the stuff you just passed and go move to the company that actually makes the vaccine that you approved. But the chief constraint on members of Congress is that they must report stock purchases and sales promptly. And I would like to know where those are published then. Using ranges rather than specific amounts to describe their value. A handful of lawyers goes beyond this rule and lists the precise amounts, and that reporting requirement was enacted in 2012. Yeah, but where is it? Some said through spokespeople that they appoint managers or trustees to take care of their day-to-day investment decisions. Most, however, retain the right to review their portfolio or to make investment suggestions at any time. Robert Walker, a former chief counsel to both the Senate and House Ethics Committee, yeah, ethics out of window, said lawmakers find blind trust to be cumbersome and not much of an insulation against conflict allegations. The more practical approach is for members to be in mutual funds, he says. We don't want members of Congress voting in a way where we have to wonder whether they were representing the public. Oh, of course we don't. Or trying to promote the interests of their portfolio. And these are all easily avoidable problems. Stat called a dozen lawmakers for this story. And guess what? None of them would comment in detail on their investments. Ding. Collins, this is the dude out of Western New York, Life Sciences portfolio is among the largest in Congress, according to stats. His seat on the House Energy and Commerce Committee gives him influence over food and drug regulation, biomedical research, and nearly every aspect of health law. Doesn't that make you feel all warm and fuzzy? Jessica Crawford, president of MedTech, by the way, I see a big story there. Somebody wants to go after that shit with teeth. I might actually contact that young whippersnapper out of Buffalo that wrote that scathing article about the 21st Century Cures Act we read last week. Jessica Crawford, president of MedTech, a New York State biomedical business group, called the congressman, quote, a very good friend, unquote. Yeah, I bet. He's always been an advocate for the industry, said Crawford. He is in a great position to be helpful on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. When he came to Congress in 2013, Collins reported between $5 and $25 million worth of holdings Inzeptometrics Corporation, a company he co-founded in, oh yes, my good old alma mater, Buffalo, New York. It focuses on products for diagnosing infectious diseases. Ding, ding, ding. And also sells its products to hospitals and other research centers for what are called laboratory-developed tests, which the FDA is moving to regulate, an effort which the company CEO, Greg Chiklis, told Stat that he opposes. Yeah, well, that pesky FDA won't need to worry too much about that anymore. Now, a year later, 21st Century Cures Act is on the law books. Collins owned between $500,000 and $1 million worth of stock in a medical device company called Chembio Diagnostic Systems when he entered office, and he has since made several large purchases and sales of Chembio stock. Collins co-sponsored legislation that would benefit both Zeptometrics and Chembio by repealing the excise tax on medical devices ushered in as part of the Affordable Care Act, and ding ding, aka Obamacare. I just read something the other day that made that connection that we'd been making, how the 21st Century Cures Act is Act 2 of the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. And again, from Reaction Solution, Dr. Smartphone, and Dr. Watson, and remote diagnostics, and being able to monitor you in a dashboard to make sure you are operating within parameters, are all the new promises of keeping you healthy, keeping healthcare costs down, and keeping you safe. Collins, and of course, 21st Century Cures, it'll be all Star Trek-y and cool. Collins, like many Republicans, argue that the tax would, quote, devastate medical device manufacturing and stifle innovation in America. Well, don't worry about that, because Trump is in office now. It's all about innovation and bringing jobs back. Obama already declared that back when he launched his precision medicine initiative, discussing how precision medicine and 21st Century Cures and the Brain Project and the Genome Project, the Big Data Initiative, and artificial intelligence, we're all going to be the economic engines of the 21st century. Also in Collins' financial portfolio, assets worth between $5 million and $25 million in innate immunotherapeutics, a biotech company based in Australia and New Zealand. Ding! Another place, group of places that are near and dear to my family history. Although the company's main focus is in multiple sclerosis, its annual report notes that its American collaborators plan by the end of this year, and that was 2015, to discuss openly with the FDA on using innate drugs as part of a new treatment for ovarian cancer. Now remember, the big C is kind of really where they are pushing the beginnings of this mad science, the beginning of the nanotechnology and nanobots in your blood to deliver little payloads of things direct to tumors. But it's going to grow from there. We're going to look at more of that. I don't know if we're going to read much more about this, Collins. This is making my head kind of swim right now, especially considering that he is out of Buffalo, like right in the lizard's den. I didn't realize there was a lizard's den so close. So anyway, here, I guess we'll read a little bit more because they mentioned the 21st Century Cures Act here. Last spring, Collins sponsored a provision in an FDA reform bill pushing the agency to reconsider its practice of requiring some drug companies to continue running studies to evaluate the safety and efficacy of medications after they hit the market, right? Like, let's get rid of those studies. You don't need to watch these things once they're out there. You know what? There's no such thing as lawsuits after the fact, and it's all called plausible deniability. How are you ever going to prove it if you don't have studies? Wink. You know what? And that, if I have any indication of how they work, and remember I told you the company I used to work for, we did business with the federal vertical, as well as educational and healthcare and banking and commercial, state. We did all the verticals. And the way he used to sell to the federal divisions was to take him out, get him drunk, and go to a strip joint. You know, take him to Vegas. It was always fun. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And typically you walked away with the promises to ink a contract. Anyway, the provision then for, you know, getting that FDA to look the other way after drugs have been approved would have benefited Collins' investment in Innate, among many other pharmaceutical companies, you know, just like that VAERS database and that pot of funds. If you want to try to sue, you have to prove very rigorously that it was a vaccine that damaged you or your child. And then there are limits to what you can even sue for. It is very difficult to get a settlement. But they've put a value on human life. They put a value on what the life of your child is. If you step right up for one of these experimental vaccines, and, you know, they got approved. But remember, vaccines were the one part of that biowarfare program that we discontinued. 1969 and inked in 1972 with Nixon. They continued doing experimental things in the lab, all in the name of protecting us against our adversaries. Although it did not make it into the final bill, and we'll find out here, the bill called the 21st Century Cures Act, because remember, there's been a year's worth of revisions to the 21st Century Cures since this was written, which is aimed at making it easier and quicker to get drugs and medical devices approved by the FDA. Collins and his staff did not return repeated calls and emails seeking comment, and multiple calls and emails to Innate were also not returned. And I don't know. Do we keep going about investments here? Fred Upton, who was in that video, who was spinning the yarn about why this was such an important bill, says Fred Upton, the committee chairman, had invested at least $130,000 in health and biotech and pharmaceuticals with his wife. Some of these investments are what Upton refers to as trust, but they do not meet the congressional ethics standards for qualified blind trust, and House ethics rules require Upton to be apprised of the trades. Upton and his wife have substantial holdings in the sector, including investments between $50,000 and $100,000 each in Pfizer and a medical device company, Hyalard Health, between $15,000 and $50,000 each in drug manufacturers Bristol Myers Squibb and Gilead. A spokesman said Upton believes in transparency about his investments, and I mean, again, these aren't really huge investments, but he declined to answer any further questions. So, if that wasn't shocking enough, so that was an accusation that I had been making, a supposition that I had guessed were probably true. And we found some evidence of that now. So it is true. Congress really doesn't have any real laws that prevents them from having their own investments in different companies that might be affected by the legislation that they pass. So let's take a look at now the bill on congress.gov. You could search it, H.R.34, called the 21st Century Cures Act. They were a day late marking it as becoming law, but it's marked now. 114th Congress passed it to Obama's desk on December 8th. And on December 13th, he inked it with 9 or 12 pens that he gave away as gifts at the taxpayer expense. $6.3 billion plus $1,200 in great pens today. So let's take a look at this table of contents. The TOC, 21st Century Cures, Innovation Projects, and state responses to opioid abuse. We, of course, have the Bo Biden Cancer Moonshot and the National Institute of Health Innovation Projects. And remember, we listened to a video clip a while back, and Jennifer Doudna was actually at that event. She spoke as well to Vice President Biden, but Biden was heading up the cancer moonshots. Bo Biden had passed away from a rare form of cancer, and he had been in the military as well, and he had gotten some of those newfangled vaccines that they give veterans, and had been exposed to some of those newfangled weapons, such as depleted uranium, while he was overseas. I believe he died of a brain cancer. But don't worry about it, because Cancer Moonshots includes nanobots in your blood to deliver chemotherapy treatments, as well as CRISPRing T cells to be able to get control of leukemias and things, as well as glioblastomas, we found out. The section also includes FDA innovation projects. So we have Cancer Moonshots. We have the National Institute of Health Innovation Projects, and one of those happens to be the Brain Project. We have the FDA innovation projects. We have the state response for opioid abuse crises. Title II Discovery, National Institute of Health Reauthorization, and the Eureka Prize competition. I guess you are going to be the booby prize for Eureka. We have the Precision Medicine Initiative, the Privacy Protection for Human Research Subjects. Ding, 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 ding. I.e., you is the guinea pig, the bipedal guinea pig. They're going to try and give you some sort of privacy protection. The protection of identifiable and sensitive information and data sharing. The supporting of young emerging scientists who are chomping at the bit to be able to get your genomic data and start experimenting with it. The National Institute of Health Planning and Administration, their strategic health plan. They're increasing accountability. The exemptions of the National Institute of Health from the Paperwork Reduction Act. Gotta love any time the government has some sort of Paperwork Reduction Act. I wonder if that is in tracking after the fact a treatment or a device gets on the market. We had seen that Collins had been pushing for that. Originally it didn't get in the bill, but I don't know if it got into the final bill. Here's another one. The high-risk, high-reward research line item. That would include human research subjects, I am sure. The National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences. And that would probably be crossing that line between man and machine, genomics and electronics. The collaboration and coordination to enhance research. The Improving Medical Rehabilitation Research at the National Institute of Health, i.e., let's figure out things that we can get into your body to make it better. The National Task Force on Researching Specific to Pregnant and Lactating Women. That's frightening. Let's increase our experimentation. I'm pregnant and lactating women. Let's streamline the National Institute of Health reporting requirements. Let's reimburse for research substances and living organisms. Does that include us? This is a long document. I'm not going to be able to read all this text. This is going to be like a research project, but at least we are hearing the table of contents. I'll drop this link into the notes of today's show. The sense of Congress on an increased inclusion of an underrepresented population in what? Oh, clinical trials. See, Obamacare had to open the door to all those people without health care and Dr. Smartphone and the 5G satellite internet across the globe is going to open up more underrepresented population in Africa to be put into the database and to be a part of clinical trials. The advancement of National Institute of Health's research and data access. There are technical updates to the clinical trials database, as well as compliance activity reports and updates to policies to improve the data itself. There's going to be, under facilities collaborative research, and get this one, guys. I read about this a while ago. We talked about it, but I didn't think it would ever be possible. Here we go, people. The National Neurological Condition Surveillance System. I can read that again. The National Neurological Conditions Surveillance System. Now, as we saw that there was a big part of this bill that included mental health and all kinds of new applications that'll be out there utilizing your voice to diagnose you, this is beyond concerning. I clicked on this one. The National Neurological Condition Surveillance System, Part P of Title III of the Public Health Services Act, is amended by inserting after Section 399S the following. Section 399S, Part 1, Surveillance of Neurological Diseases. In general, the Secretary, acting through the Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and in coordination with other agencies as the Secretary determines, shall, as appropriate, 1. Enhance and expand infrastructure and activity to track the epidemiology of neurological diseases, and 2. Incorporate information obtained through such activities into an integrated surveillance system, which may consist of or include a registry, ding, to be known as the National Neurological Conditions Surveillance System. I'm reading this out of the 21st Century Cures Act text that was signed by Obama. Part B, research. The Secretary shall ensure that the National Neurological Condition Surveillance System is designed in a manner that facilitates further research on neurological diseases, like what? Voice processing to see how you're progressing? C, the content. In carrying out this subsection, the Secretary shall provide for the collection and storage of information on the incidence and prevalence of neurological disease in the United States. Ding. Guys, they are going to surveil us, all in the name of fake news, all in the name of mass shootings, all in the name of epidemics of Alzheimer's and dementia and PTSD for veterans who have come back from warfare. The veterans. The VA system that's now going to be run by AI and part of the Precision Medicine Initiative. The All of Us program that's going to get us to step right up and all become part of the database. People, it is really, really freaking happening now. To provide for the collection and the storage of other available information on neurological diseases, including new information related to persons living with neurological diseases who choose to participate, such as demographics, such as age, race, ethnicity, sex, geographic location, family history, and other information as appropriate. And B, risk factors that may be associated with neurological diseases, such as genetic and environmental risk factors and other information as appropriate. And C, diagnoses and precision markers. 3. may provide for the collection and storage of information relevant to the analysis on neurological diseases, such as information concerning a natural history of disease, the prevention of diseases, the detection, management, and treatment approaches for the diseases, and the development of outcome measures. It also may address issues identified during the consultation process and initially may address a limited number of neurological diseases, but in the future, I'm sure it will expand. Consultation. In carrying out this section, the secretary shall consult with individuals with appropriate expertise, which may include epidemiologists with experience in disease surveillance or registries, representatives of a national voluntary health association that focus on neurological diseases. Yeah, that's called the All of Us program. Have demonstrated experience in research, care, and patient services, health information technology experts, or other information management specialists, clinicians with expertise in neurological diseases, like, oh, I don't know, the former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, who is now working with Google Verily. We found out some other well-known psychologist has gone to work with him as well. They're also going to work with research scientists with experience conducting translational research. Oh, wait, like Microsoft Skype, who just announced, as well as Google, who just announced their translation programs. Skype can do it now, live in real time on your voice. Google can even create its own language to translate between languages it had not learned before. We're in trouble, guys. All right, they're going to do reporting no later than 1 year after the date on which any system is established under this section. The secretary shall submit an interim report to the health, to the Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions of the state, of the Senate, sorry, and the Energy Committee and Commerce Committee of the House, regarding aggregate information collected pursuant to this section and epidemiological analyses as appropriate. Such reports shall be posted on the internet website of the Department of Health and Human Services and shall be updated biannually. This is very frightening, guys. Coordination of databases that collect and maintain information on neurological diseases at a federal level. And don't worry about it, because we're going to also facilitate collaborative research in tick-borne diseases. I saw a story the other day, for the very first time, they have some sort of Lyme disease vaccine that's going to be tested in humans in a clinical trial for the very first time on its way. As well as accessing, sharing, and using health data for research purposes. We also have now subtitle G, promoting pediatric research. Don't think that your kids are going to get away from this. The National Pediatric Research Network. Now, guys, just knowing what we've known out of WikiLeaks and some of the things that have spun up about Pizzagate and whatever. And you know what? I don't have time to think about all that, but all I got to say is interesting. It raises a Spock eyebrow when added to all the other things that we have seen in the past. We've also seen, and I saw yesterday in a document about the 21st century cures, one of the things that they're going to be researching is, yes, parabiosis. That whole thing about taking young blood out of young creatures and putting it into old creatures to make them young again. Yes, it's going to be paid for in the research as part of 21st century cures. But now we have a pediatric research network. To suck your children in. It's all going to be in the name of curing those children with rare diseases. And guys, I don't have a mean bone in my body, and of course I don't want sick children. But they are taking this mad science division that all these scumbags are going to profit from, and they're going to make your kiddo a mini guinea pig. And you're not going to be able to do anything about it. You know why? Because it's not going to be voluntary anymore. This is going to be done all in the name of global health, all in the name of requiring you to be a part of the system to keep these costs down. Right now, it's voluntary. Step right up. But once they get out some of these kinks, once they get the majority on board, there will be no saying no. You will be an outcast. You will be living in caves. It's just horrifying. So the National Pediatric Research Network, the Global Pediatric Clinical Study Network as well. So all the world's children are now going to become mini guinea pigs for the biopharma, biotech establishment. And of course, then we have patient-focused drug development. Just for you, Johnny, step right up. You have some of those evil thoughts. So we have developed a concoction that will fix exactly what is ailing you, Johnny. You won't believe what we tell you. And we've told it to you so many times, Johnny. You are now costing us money. We are going to fix you permanently with some brain reconditioning. With a brain implant that every time you have an evil thought, it goes bloop, bloop, bloop. And those evil thoughts just go away. You got little flashes of light there. Bloop. And we could just implant the happy memories of dancing unicorns. They, of course, want to streamline drug development and patient experience data and the drug development guidance. They want to target drugs for rare diseases, and they want to pull all of us in. And the very last but not least is the informed consent waiver or alteration for clinical investigations under modern trial design and evidence development. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Thursday. Miss Lonnie Clark is live up next. And then we have Game On at 7 live. It's Intermediate Live tonight in hell. Find the witch chat. All right, have another Thursday. I'll be tomorrow.
Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live.
The Anti-Media Radio with your host.